Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Leviticus. The book of Leviticus, chapter 14. Leviticus 14. And last Sunday night, during the evening service, probably right about now, Brother Nixon was reading in the book of Leviticus right over here, and it might have been in Leviticus 14. And he testified that God really blessed him with his Bible reading as we read through the Bible. And amazing again to be reading in Leviticus while the children were singing and they were doing their Master Club regional activities right here. And Brother Nixon was off in a zone, amen, by just reading the Word of God. And I like that. That was such a blessing when he gave that testimony. And so anyway, we are in Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when ye be come into that land of Canaan, which I give you for a possession, I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession. And he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. And I want to talk to you about those words, a plague in the house. Father, I pray that you will bless now the preaching of thy word. Help us to understand this passage. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts with it, that you'll use it in our homes, use it in our church. Lord, help us to realize that anytime there is sin on the inside, it's a real problem and there can be much destruction. And so I pray that you'll speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. A plague in the house. The owner, the Bible says, verse 35, he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. In other words, something has been noticed by the owner of this home. It just isn't right. Something has been noticed that is disturbing, and I like the way that it says, "It seemeth to me there is, as it were, a plague." In other words, he noticed there was a problem, and when there's a problem, we need to try to fix the problem. Amen. I mean, that's the way it is. And in this case, it was a plague in the house. And obviously, it wasn't going to do any good to blame anybody. It wasn't going to do any good to blame the house or blame the circumstances. This plague, this leprosy or mold, if you will, was in the house, and there was a problem here. And now it's time to figure out, what are we going to do about it? And you know, it's amazing. We know what's going on in our own home. I mean, we know when there's a problem. Here's a fellow. I mean, he walked down in this home, and I started to say down the halls. They didn't really have halls back in those days. Probably just he was in his home and was there every day, and he noticed his home, and he watched his home, and he looked after his home, and one day he saw this streak of like a mold, like we might think of, and he would say, you know, that's a problem. I've not noticed that before. That is a problem in my home, and I don't want that in my home. That's a problem. He said, I've been in this house over and over and over, and maybe he sat every morning and he faced that wall, and every morning ate his bowl of Wheaties, amen, and he looked at that wall every morning, but one day it just seemed different. He said, you know, there's a problem here. I don't want this problem in my home. He said, it seemeth to me we have a problem here in the home. And he said, I don't want this problem anymore. And he goes to the priest and he says, it seemeth to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. And let me tell you, when you have a problem, you better fix the problem. You better take care of the problem. And again, it wasn't a time for him to go to everybody and say, okay, what is this all about? And he's not trying to find the blame. He just wants to fix the problem. He says, there's leprosy, there's a plague in the home. So I just want to give you some points about this. And this passage deals with that. I'm going to tie it into the way leprosy is looked at all the time in Scripture. It is a good comparison of sin. A leprosy always in the Bible, it is a comparison of sin. Of course, we know Naaman with the disease of leprosy and how God showed him how he could be cleansed of that. By the way, thank God for cleansing from sin. Thank God that our sins can be blotted out. Thank God that we can be forgiven. Thank God that the penalty of sin is gone when Jesus died on the cross. Thank God that the power of sin can be broken because God is greater than our sin. But you know, if one day in your own home, or one day in your own church, or one day where you are over in your school, or one day in your classroom, you notice there's a problem, don't you think you ought to try to get it fixed? We know our homes. We know our lives. And I'm appealing to folks tonight about your own home. I'm appealing to you. If you know there's a problem, don't you think it's time to take it to Jesus? Don't you think? I mean, you know there's something. It's like this man. One day he noticed. He said, there's this mold. There's this problem in my home. I've got to deal with it. If there's sin in the home, you're headed for trouble. When there's sin in the camp, there's going to be trouble. Elijah Letson preached about Achan. And, you know, sin in the camp is always trouble. Always trouble. And when there is that sin and there's that problem, we need to go for help. Number one, the sin of the home. The sin of the home. And here, this plague it's compared to, and I compare it the Bible says it's a plague of leprosy. I compare it with sin in the home. In verse 35, he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. And then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priests go in into it to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to see the house. And he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow strakes, greenish or reddish, which inside are lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again the seventh day and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones whence the plague is. They shall cast them into an unclean place without the city, and so on and so forth. And there's the sin of the home is like this man seeing this plague of leprosy in his home, this mold, this fungus, whatever it is, this leprosy on the wall. And it was even in the wall, the Bible says. It was that if the plague be in the walls of the house, I mean, this is right there in this person's home. Leprosy has the same characteristics of sin. The two of them, if you study leprosy in the Bible, you'll find that leprosy sickens as sin sickens. You'll find that leprosy spreads as sin spreads. You'll find that leprosy smells as sin smells up our testimony. You'll find that leprosy leaves scars as sin always. Do not think sin does not leave its scars. And leprosy always was a dreaded disease in the Bible, and it was a picture of that dreaded disease called sin. It was a picture of sin in our lives. And when there's sin in the home, you know there is. When something's wrong, when all of a sudden relationships aren't right in the home, you know there's something wrong. When all of a sudden attitudes are not the same, you know something's wrong. When you say, hey, time to go to church, and all of a sudden the voice comes, I don't want to go to church today, you know something's wrong. I mean, when all of a sudden time to read the Bible in your home, and somebody, I don't want to do that. I want to watch my program. You know something's wrong. When hey, Poindexter, I need you to do this, and the eyes are rolling, and the arguments are coming, you know something's wrong. And you know, it's sad that in our day, a lot of times we just kind of turn away and say, oh, well, I could live with that. God said we need to deal with it, though. God said, with this man, he said, I've let you see this. I want you to see this so you can have the way, the method to deal with this thing. Is there sin in the home? I'm talking about in the home. I'm talking about within the very walls. You know, we always feel safe, and obviously, you know, I've not felt as safe as people broke into the church, and you just feel safe inside your house. You feel safe inside your church. But it's amazing how the devil can affect the inside of the places where we should feel very safe, like our homes, our very homes. This man, it would seem like, you know, that fungus, that mold, that leprosy, that on the outside, well, that's not such a big deal, but this is inside. We'll see bugs and spiders and critters and all kinds of things on the outside, close the door to our house and say, whew, well, I'm glad to be inside. But boy, when they get inside, and when sin gets inside, it cannot be more dangerous for our homes. But we know, because it's our home, just like this man knew. You know if things aren't right. Dad, you know if things aren't right as far as coming to church. You know who doesn't want to come and who does. You know how you yourself feel about the things of God. You know how you used to be excited about reading the Bible, but you're not as excited anymore. And all of a sudden now, nobody's excited. You know how it is in your own home. You know how you've let things slip and things are being watched that you used to would never allow to be watched. You know how it is, how you used to patrol the computer and you just quit. You decided to quit fighting it, and now attitudes and everything's getting worse. You know how it is. It's like this man. You say, you know, I know something's going on. I'll tell you, there's sin in the home. There's sin right within the very walls. We seem like, you know, well, we have a roof over our head. We have walls. We have doors. We have locks. We have windows. We have all of this. And yet, isn't it amazing how sin finds its way in? Isn't it amazing how, you know, Adam and Eve, the first couple in the Bible, I mean, the devil attacks, immediately attacks the home. Attacks the home. You know, you understand the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But boy, you get inside the church. And I'm going to tell you what really affects the inside of the church is your home. And sin gets in the home. You know, it's dangerous in the home because the truth of the matter is, nobody else sees it. I mean, it's like this guy right here. I mean, there's leprosy in his home, but the truth is, if he doesn't tell anybody, it just spreads. And pretty soon it's destruction. As you'll see at the end here, they tear the house down. Nobody else knows what goes on in the home. Could be abuse going on. Could be verbal abuse. Could be physical abuse. Could be sexual abuse. Could be all kinds of things going on inside the home, but nobody knows. You know, because it's your wall. You know because it's your home. You know the attitudes that aren't right. You know the rebellion that is taking place right inside the very walls of your home. You know. And the truth is, nobody else knows. That's all right, that's Jim. He gets excited. He's deaf, and so he might be a little behind. Amen? Because she's too slow. But his amen, I've heard his amen before, and I get excited about that. But I'm, you know, the truth of the matter is, folks, let's think about our homes. Let's think about, you know, I would, and certainly in this case, within the very walls of this man's home, there is leprosy, and he knows that something has got to be done. And you know, maybe we need to look at our homes and say, okay, preacher, I know there's something wrong in my home. I know that. Maybe it's a lack of prayer. Maybe it's you quit having devotions in your home. Maybe your kids don't ever see you open up the Bible. I'm not accusing. I'm just saying maybe that's it. How did this sin get into our homes? How did it get inside? Could it be maybe there's a lack of love? Maybe it's the number one problem, communication problems. You know, oh, I just can't talk to my kids. You better figure out how to sometime. Amen. You know, maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's mistrust. Maybe it's a non-submissive spirit in the home. Maybe it's just a lack of love. Maybe it's a time issue. Maybe it's, you know, well, I got to work and I got to get all the things. I got news for you. The things aren't going to matter when your home is destroyed. It's not going to matter. Maybe it's that television set that is taking up all your time and it's ruining your time with your family. Maybe it's friends. Maybe it's the wrong friends. You say, yeah, my kids. No, I'm thinking about their parents. Could be, right? I mean, honestly, maybe it's just that there aren't enough good examples in the home. Maybe it's discipline. Well, you know, we're not allowed to spank. Who says? Who told you that? What do you mean you're not? It's not a matter of being not allowed. It's God tells you to. You're not allowed not to. Double negative. Not allowed. Anyway. Well, you know, I've just decided to let them have their own way. Okay, but you're the one that sees it on the wall. You're the one that knows something's wrong. We've sent the Baptist committee into your house to see if there's leprosy. It's not, you know, well, the deacons are deciding to come in. No, you know. Mom, you know. You know. There's something wrong. Preacher, something's wrong in my home. Okay. Did you open the door to humanism? Did you let it in? You say, well, no, my kids are in the Christian school. Oh, yeah, but they're in the Christian school the same amount of hours you let them watch TV. You know, rebellion? Did you open the door and just let rebellion right in? Homosexuality right in through the television set? You know, comedies aren't funny anymore. It's not funny anymore. It's about bathrooms. It's about sex. It's about perversion. And that's not funny anymore. But you see enough of that and it affects you. You know? The rebellion, you know, is it through the music they're listening to in the home? Dad, is it what's playing on your radio in your car? Again, why? What is it? There is a problem. Let's deal with the problem. Let's find it out. Homes all across America are plagued. And this passage of Scripture tells us what to do. Number one, the sin of the home. Number two, the search of the home. The Bible says the priest shall command that they empty the house. Oh, you say, preacher, that's... Well, I want to know if you want to find the problem or not. Who's the priest? Well, look, Hebrews 4. Let's let the priest empty the house, amen? Now, it's so that he can look at the walls, but while he's emptying the house, how about if he looks at what he's emptying? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Let's find out who the priest is. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but is in all points tempted like we are, like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus is the priest. How about if we let Jesus come in and empty the house? Let him just look over everything. You say, preacher, that would not be a good thing. But we're trying to find the problem in the home. You say, boy, preacher, the attitudes are not good in my home. Boy, the relationship's not good in my home. Boy, the wife and I, we're not getting along in my home. Boy, the kids and I, we're not getting along in my home. Why wouldn't you let Jesus look at every item? Amen. Empty the house. Find out what's going on. Jesus knows. Amen? Amen. Now again, they're emptying the house. The Bible says the priest shall command they empty the house before the priests go in to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean, and afterward the priest shall go in to see the house. But I'm just saying, let's let the priest look at the items that you take out of the house. Let him look at the items. Call on him to examine everything. Psalm 139, we look at this often, but we don't practice it. Psalms 139 and verse 23. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, what if he led you to get rid of some of those things that you're taking out of the house for him to examine? Could you really pray that prayer? You know what scares me the most? We see the leprosy on the wall, but we don't want the priest to search our stuff. Now, by the way, he sees it all anyway. He sees our hearts. He knows our thoughts. But why not be honest tonight on the altar and say, God, clean my house out. Clean it out. Clean it up. Would you tonight ask Jesus to search your home? You should. I should. First sign of trouble, we should say, God, I search, clean this house out. Whatever needs to go, needs to go. Whatever needs fixed, needs fixed. Because I don't want that leprosy on my house. I don't want sin in my place. First sign. First sign of trouble. They did at the first sign of leprosy. I was thinking about this, and the thieves came in the first night, Wednesday night, and they were working very hard to get on a church computer. And they got on the computer, and they were blocked from how many sites? 60 sites. They were blocked from seeing because of our church filter system. Now, I got to thinking, Brother Tim, I wonder how many folks here, they would have gone to those same sites, and they would have had easy access to. In fact, your computer would have said, shown a timestamp where that computer had been to that site before. Boy, we wouldn't want Jesus to see that, would we? These were pornographic sites, correct? Some of them, other kinds of bad sites. Who's looking at those things at your home? If you don't have a filter system, you know what you need to do? You need to throw the computer out. And it better be a good filter system. It better be real good. Amen. Amen. You can amen now, Jim. All right. Anyway, thank you. D, you are going to have to speed up to keep up with me, all right? But DVDs, music, the history on your computer, the conversations in chat rooms. You folks, what's wrong? I don't know what's wrong. I'm just telling you some areas where you might want to look. Magazines, maybe you need to look. Some books you're reading, you know, romance things. That's a bunch of garbage, most of it. You know, I mean, but it's Christian romance, really. Read the Song of Solomon. Amen? I'm just saying the search of the home needs to happen when you see the leprosy. And you sit here tonight, and here it is Mother's Day, and we're celebrating Mother's Day, and praise the Lord for that. But I know there's folks right here, right now, who are saying, we got problems. I got problems. And I know, you know, the tendency is to want to blame him and her and her and everybody. But how about search me, oh God? It starts with dads. Search me. Dad, starts with you. God, I want, you know, if I'm the problem, I want to know what the problem, you know, I want to deal with it. Mom, it ought to go, you know, I know we want to point at, oh, those wicked, vile teenagers. Well, yeah, but they, what, let's, God, look at us. Number one is the sin of the home. Number two, the search of the home. Number three, the saving of the home. Isn't that what it's all about? Saving the home? That's what this is all about. This man, he sat down at his table one day to eat his bowl of Wheaties in the morning. He looks up and there's a streak of mold or fungus, and it's a plague of leprosy. And he said, you know, it seems to me like we have a problem here. It seems to me like something's got to happen. He calls the priest. He says, hey, I need some help here. I want my home saved. I wish people would want their homes to be saved. I really do. If you will, look at Job 22, verse 23. Job 22, 23, good verse. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far, 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 far from thy tabernacles. Get it away from your home, your tents, where you dwell, where you live. Get it out of there. We fight all the time. Get it out of there. We don't get along. Get it out of there. We're mad at each other. Get it out of there. We don't trust each other. Get it out of there. Put it far away. Whatever it takes, get it right. Get it settled. Communicate. Deal with it. Put it far. Far. Why? That's where you live. That's where you dwell. You cannot every day sit down to eat your bowl of Wheaties and look up and expect that that leprosy is going to just stay there and not hurt anybody, because it's going to cause you trouble. You got to deal with it. The saving of the home. The Bible says here, notice verse 38, the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. The priest shall come again the seventh day and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house. Notice they've taken everything out. Now he's come and he's looked at it, and he's going to see if it's stopped. He's waiting 7 days to see if it's stopped. And you know, maybe it's a small problem, and after 7 days, maybe it will stop. Maybe it'll be okay. Maybe it's just a small problem. And by the way, you can take something to Jesus and get it settled. And maybe it's a small thing and it won't spread and it won't cause any more trouble. That's why it's a good idea to deal with it right away. There's folks here, you've got bitterness you've had for so many years now. It is eating you alive. You've done nothing for God. You'll do nothing for God. Because you will not deal with that, what was a small problem one day. But it's just become a bigger and bigger problem. And it's in your home, and it's in your life, And it's taking people down, and it will continue to take people down. Because you're not willing to deal with it when it's just a small problem. Hey, 7 days, and we shut up everything. We take everything out. We shut up the house. You can't use your house for 7 days. But bless God, it's gone. Because it was a small problem. And we caught it soon enough. We talk about cancer. We talk about, did we catch it soon enough? Did we get it in the early stage? Hallelujah, and we're so glad. But we think sin is going to be kinder than cancer. When the wages of sin is death. And I noticed this little mole right here. And I thought I ought to have the doctor look at it. And the doctor looks at it and he takes that thing out of there and says, no cancer? Praise God. Hallelujah. But with sin in our lives, it's like we look at the mole and say, I don't want to deal with that. I don't care. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, now it's so big, I don't want to embarrass myself and tell the doctor about it. I wouldn't want the doctor to know that I had this thing. You're going to die. And that's exactly what we do with sin. Because it becomes so big, now we don't want to deal with it. Why didn't you deal with it when it was little? 7 days, that's not bad. Deal with it. Get it taken care of. Well then, the Bible says, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. They've literally taken the stones out of the wall where the plague was, and they've cast them into an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within, round about. They shall pour out the dust that they scrape off. Even the dust is unclean. They're going to scrape the whole house. Why? Because that mold, that leprosy is going to spread. They've taken where the problem was. They've cast that out. But they're scraping everything just in case. Because after 7 days, they didn't get it dealt with. Whew. Boy, that seems like a lot of hassle, doesn't it? Huh? And he shall cause the house to be scraped. Verse 41, within, round about, they shall pour out the dust they scrape off without the city and into an unclean place. They shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones. He shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house. Wow. I mean, they eliminated the blocks. What do you mean? Well, they got rid of the sin. They dealt with it. They had to. They dealt with it. And for some folks, they took their television set and they threw it out in the street. Well, maybe not the street. That you can get in trouble for that nowadays. But, for some folks, they had to get rid of the computer because they didn't want to get a filtering system. Amen. You should. Yeah. You know, for some folks, they found out that maybe they ought to check what their kids are texting and who they're texting to. Did you know there was a day when nobody had cell phones? It's hard to believe, isn't it? Kayla says, no. I'm not saying it's a sin to have. I'm just saying, you know what? You ought to check it. Didn't you used to check where your kids go? Where are you going, Poindexter?
I'm going to the store.
All right, get back here soon. You got 5 minutes. Yeah. Well, now this is unlimited, isn't it? Texting's unlimited. And I would venture to say half the teenagers in here have internet on their cell phone. You say, I don't allow that. You don't even know about it. You know why? Because you haven't looked at their phone in years. Now, I know you might have to get a computer geek to look at it and figure out what all's going on with the thing, but don't you think you should as a parent? It might be your biggest problem right there. Bless God, we take a stand. We're King James Bible people, but your kids have got garbage on their telephones. Amen. I know it's not real popular. And it is Mother's Day. Thank you, James. You know, I'm just saying they had to remove the sin. They had to get that thing out of here. You know, they had to get rid of arguing. Okay? How do we not argue? Shut up. Or in the King James, shutteth uppeth. I mean, that's how you don't argue. You just don't argue. You know, you don't fight. It frustrates me. All these young, there are young people all over this room. They hear mom and dad daily fighting with one another. And the pastor gets up and says, well, bless God, you ought to get married to the right person. Be happy, happy, happy. And they think there's no happiness to it. No wonder they want to go out and just live with somebody. Yeah. But you get it right. You know, the man loves his wife. And the wife submits to her husband. And the children obey their parents. That's how it's supposed to be. And that's simple. That's the basics. Somebody says, well, I need a little deeper. No, you can't even handle the shallow. Love your wife. I love her while I'm telling her what to do. Put her first. Oh, my preacher. She's supposed to submit to me. You're supposed to love her. It's absolutely amazing, really, how simple and basic this is. And replace that old block with leprosy. Replace that with a family altar. Turn off the television and read the Bible with one another. Get out Monopoly. Kayla's excited. Revival's breaking out. Get out some game or something. And you know, well, the teenagers, well, I don't want to do that. Oh, do you let them run the whole house? Yes, you do. Don't get involved in my preaching. Just listen. Just listen. Don't try to replace me. You know, we need to replace the garbage with prayer and loving one another. Amen. And giving them time. Scraping's rough. I read this and I think, boy, you know, some of you, there needs to be some scraping in the home. Amen. It's rough, but it's worth it. Why? Because we got to get that out of there. You know, it's interesting. The Bible goes on and it says in verse 43, and if the plague come again. Boy, that was deep, wasn't it? You know, it's sad when it's that deep. It really is. If the plague come again and break out in the house after that he hath taken away the stones and after he has scraped the house and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look. And behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house. It is unclean. And he shall break down the house. The stones, the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house, he shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. So deep. So deep. It's because it wasn't dealt with soon enough. It's abuse in a home. It's adultery in a home. It's divorce in a home. It's a teenager that goes off and is wayward. It's miserable. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible situation that only ends with destruction. You say, you know, I've noticed some problems. Then please, please deal with those problems. Get it taken care of. Because the Bible says in verse 46, moreover, he that goeth into the house all the while that it is shut up shall be unclean. See, it affected somebody else. And he that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes. Why? Because it's affected them too. Yeah, when there's sin in the home, when there's sin in the camp, it affects people and lives are lost. You know, moms and dads fighting, they think that's, well, that's just the way of life. I got news for you. It, number one, is not God's way of life. And number two, it is destroying lives around. Yeah, because it's unclean. That pornography, I know, you think nobody sees it. It's unclean in your house. Yeah, sir, ma'am, it's not just men, ma'am, it's unclean in your house. Flirting in chat rooms, it's unclean in your house. Well, nobody knows. Yeah, your kids know. They know how to check history, and they do check history. Because you know what? Those same kids sit down at the table, and they go to eat their bowl of cereal, and they see the streak too. Because they know there's a problem too. And they start checking, believe me, and they know. Yeah, I know. That's why we need to get it right, get it taken care of immediately. Jesus, would you look at my blocks of my house? Jesus, would you look at what's going on in my home? I don't want my home to be destroyed, Jesus. I don't want my kids' lives to be ruined. I don't want my family to fall apart. But God, please, would you look at my home? You know what's wrong. Verse 48, if the priest shall come in and look upon it, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean because the plague is healed. Only Jesus can heal the plague. Amen. And he will, if you'll let him. Number one, we talked about the sin of the home. Number two, we saw the search of the home. Number three, the saving of the home. And then the last thing, number four, and it is the most, not the most important thing, but it's so crucial. And that is the sanctifying of the home. Because God gives instructions after this. It says the plague is healed, but verse 49, he shall take to cleanse the house two birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. He shall kill the one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water, and he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop, the scarlet, the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water, and sprinkle the house seven times. Do you know, I remember days when people said, "Preacher, I want you to come and anoint our home with oil and pray over our home." Those days are gone. Somebody'd move. They'd move into a new home. And they'd say, "Preacher, would you come?" Many times I've gone to every doorway and put some oil there and prayed and asked God to bless that home. And boy, those days are gone. "Preacher, come and anoint our computer. Just beg God that we'll never see anything vile on this thing. And the TV set. You know, come and pray with us over our home." Those days are gone. That's what he's talking about here. He's saying, just sanctify your home. Set it apart for my use. And the Bible says, "He shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, with the running water, and the living bird with the cedar wood, with the hyssop, with the scarlet. But he shall let go the living bird out of the city into the open fields and make an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy and scall." And just real quick, dedicating your home to the Lord. One bird is killed over a dish of water, and the blood is dripped into that water, and the water and blood are mixed. The cedar and the hyssop are tied together by a scarlet thread, so it makes a whisk, kind of a like a little broom kind of a thing. And then with the living bird's tail feathers, with that whisk, it's dipped in the blood and the water, and it's sprinkled on the house from that little concoction. I'll explain it in just a minute. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Oh, I wish we had more people that would say that today. And not just say it, but live it. And God, we sanctify our home to you. To purify. Why? Because we don't ever want it to happen again. We don't ever want to get up, sit down at the table to eat our bowl of Wheaties, and see that streak of mold, that sin in our home. The blood, of course, represents the blood of Jesus. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Praise God. Praise God for the blood. We can be forgiven if we confess our sins. What is that? That's to say the same thing God says about it. God, what I've been watching is sin. God, what we have been doing is sin. God, this fighting is sin. God, this neglect is sin. This inconsistency is sin. It's confession. Confess it. Confess the sin. By the way, it's running water. We are to continually confess our sins to God. Continually. Because it's every day. Because it's always that opportunity to roll our eyes. It's always that opportunity to go, "Can't believe." It's always that opportunity to have a bad attitude. It's always that opportunity to watch that thing. It's always that email that says, "Click on me." It's always there. Continually. Continual water. Read it in the Scripture. Running water. Picturing the Holy Spirit and the Word of God cleaning us up. That's why we need to read the Word of God. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." And the living bird. The Bible says you take those feathers and you dip that in that concoction and sprinkle it on the house, but then you let the bird go. and the sin's forgiven and it's forgotten. And it should be. You parents that keep bringing up something that Poindexter did last year or last month or a year or 2 years ago, whatever it was, or you fellas that keep bringing up what your wife did 20 years ago, and I'm going to tell you something, you're making a huge mistake. Let the bird fly. Forgive. Go on. Praise God. The cedar that it talks about here is strength. That's the Father. Cedar wood is not apt to decay. Sir, you're supposed to be strong. You're supposed to be the man of your home. We have, honestly, we have a generation, we have generations of wimpy men. And it is sad in our day. I mean, it has happened right before our very eyes. Women are leading, men are backing down. I'm not saying women can't. We have some of the smartest women, some of the sharpest women right here in this church. We have women here that could run a small country. Guaranteed. But you know what I thank God? I thank God for their submissiveness and their knowing, hey, I want to be where God wants me to be. And I want my husband to be my leader. And I want the men to be the leaders. Praise God for that. That cedar represents strength. We need strong men. By the way, you will not be strong feasting on television all the time and neglecting the Word of God. You're not going to be strong. Cedar is strength. Hyssop is scent. It's the woman. It's the comforter, the mood setter. That's what the woman does. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. It's the one that sets the mood of the house. That's why, you know, when your husband comes home and the kids come home, the house ought to be clean. You ought to be clean. Everything ought to smell good. Everything ought to be nice. Everything ought to be right. A couple of guys are looking around like, well, that'll never happen. Yeah, pity the poor fella that comes home and the wife has curlers in her hair and she's watching some stupid soap opera. And the house is a wreck. And the baby's crawling around in its dirty diaper. Hyssop. Study hyssop sometime. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. The cedar wood and the hyssop is tied together with a scarlet thread. That's unity. That's a husband and wife. One. Together. Unity. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the family. That's God's divine institution that is meant to be a blessing and not a burden. Have you looked around and noticed that there's a problem? Have you looked around and noticed that there's something wrong? Maybe there's sin in the home. I would encourage you to do a quick search of the home and then do all you can to save the home and then sanctify your home. Maybe tonight get on an altar and say, God, I want my home to be what you want it to be. I set it apart for you. And my wife and I, we are together. You need to get together. Amen. And I'm talking, you made vows to one another. And you need to be together. You need to be one. Not just one flesh. You need to cleave to one another. And you need to work together to make your home what God wants it to be. Otherwise, sin will bring your home down. I've pastored a long time now. And I have watched these things just like this. I've been involved in the scraping. I've been involved in all those kind of things. None of that's any fun. Right now, if you know there's something wrong, I'd get on the altar. Right now, you're like the guy, you notice that little spot on that block and you know, hey, that's not right. I got to deal with this thing. I would encourage you, please deal with it. Maybe you'll catch it. And maybe it hadn't affected anything else. Maybe it has affected some things. You're going to have to do some more work and deal with it more. Maybe there's going to have to be scraping. But bless God, get it taken care of before the whole house comes down. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. How many tonight would say, preacher, God has spoken to my